Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Just the reminder as we get going here midweek that our focus is Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7, and really the last part of the verse, in which Adam and Eve act immediately following their sin against God in the garden in Eden. Yesterday I mentioned that I would speak about this last part of verse 7 in three ways. And the first was to highlight the human tendency to try and cover up our sins. Today, let's move on to the second way we can talk about what is before us in the Scripture. And that is that here, Adam and Eve suddenly have a conscience. They have a working conscience. And that conscience tells them that they have done something that is very wrong. Before we talk about their conscience, let me read the Scripture so that we all have it back at the forefront of our minds. I'm reading Genesis 3, verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. It is important to remember that up until the point of sin, Adam and Eve were completely innocent people. By innocent, I mean they were totally ignorant of evil. God created them without sin. They were perfect people living in the perfection of the garden of God in Eden. That is hard for us to even imagine because we know nothing but being born into sin and finding the full expression of our lives grounded in a sinful world where we are sinners, and everyone else we come into contact with are sinners also. So here, at this point in Genesis, with sin comes the searing jolt of conscience. Adam and Eve had a built-in conscience, but it was that it did not activate until they sinned. While innocent, they never needed the conscience, but upon sin, they did. By conscience, I mean the internal alarm that sounds within us when we make moral choices between what is right and what is wrong. God created everyone with a conscience, and He uses it to make us aware that we are about to do and/or have already done something we should not have done. Verse 7 describes this internal alarm ringing out loud within Adam and Eve. The brief age of innocence is over, and the long age of conscience has taken over. And this leads us to a third way to talk about verse 7, and that is to discuss how the conscience, alerting Adam and Eve to sin, led them to feel guilt and shame. Old Testament theologian Otto Preuss writes, quote, "They eat, they expect marvelous results, they wait, and there grows on them the sense of shame," unquote. This sense of guilt and shame is why they quickly sought to cover themselves. And our conscience is still doing this for us today. When we sin, we feel guilty and we feel ashamed. And whichever one you feel more poignantly depends on which culture to which you belong. I do not want to spend long on this, but as the anthropologists tell us, certain cultures live in a dynamic of innocence guilt, and other cultures honor shame. I have firsthand experience with this. At the time I was born in and grew up in the United States, I belonged to an innocence guilt culture. So that when I was presented with a moral choice and I did the right thing, I was innocent. But when presented with a moral decision and did the wrong thing, I had a sense of guilt, as the story I told you last time about getting caught with candy cigarettes illustrated. In the U.S., when it comes to the law, one is either innocent or guilty. But then I moved to Asia, Hong Kong specifically, and I've spent over two decades there. In Asia, the society, the culture is built on honor and shame. So that when one is presented with a moral choice and does right, they have a sense of honor and others honor them. But when one is presented with a moral choice and does wrong, they feel ashamed and others shame them. That is why the fear of being exposed, of sin being brought to the light, the terror of being shamed in public is very real. As long as nobody knows, I can go on sinning. But if anyone ever found out, panic. Well, we live in a globalized culture now, and so all of the lines are blurred. Non-Asian Americans feel shame, and Asians feel guilt, and round we go. I think Adam and Eve felt both guilt and shame at what they had done, and they treated their feelings with fig leaves. When it comes to your sin and mine, we may feel more guilt or more shame or a little of both. How do we treat our feelings? You know, I say this, but I have to immediately catch myself. I said we feel guilt and shame when we sin against God, but do we? Oh, you still might. I do. I know I do. But we have to be real. More and more, we live in societies where there is no guilt and no shame over sin. The old questions, don't you feel guilty? And have you no shame? Are asked, and the answer is no. If we take, for example, what is suddenly the all-consuming push in America for people, in particular children, to be LGBTQ+, that is lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and other, this very disturbing development, what we see is that this whole movement is designed to eliminate or to treat as being very bad any sense of guilt or of shame. Even though to practice LGBTQ+ lifestyles is indeed sinful, according to the clear teaching of Scripture, the attempt is made to root out any sense of guilt or shame for embracing such expressions of what is now being redefined as human sexuality. So we hear slogans like, I am enough, and social media has hashtags like hashtag okay to be me, meaning I am who I am, and if I decide to be lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, or other, then I am. I proudly embrace this. I have absolutely no sense of guilt or shame. That's the attitude. It is, why should I feel guilt or shame? We see the results of this, and for anyone who reads the Bible and believes what the Bible actually says, for anyone who embraces the truth of the Word of God, this new normal is deeply disturbing, disheartening, and makes us incredibly sad. I understand this can also make us angry, especially the way in which this is being shoved down the throats of our children and grandchildren. It draws us immediately into deeper prayer for God to have mercy on our families and for His Spirit to overrule the God of this world, Satan, bringing spiritual revival to people and fast. But my point today, or my reason for bringing this up, is to say that feeling guilty and ashamed for sin is actually a good thing. We see the horrific results when people do not feel guilt and shame. Well, when people do feel guilt and shame, like Adam and Eve, what then exists is an opportunity for God's grace to take away the guilt and the shame. This is what Jesus does. When we get tired enough of carrying around with us the weight of our guilt, the heavy weight of our shame, and we surrender ourselves to Jesus, believing in Him, He willingly takes all of our guilt and shame away. It's called forgiveness. And I know many of you listening have already experienced just this. Let me put it to you this way. To feel guilt and shame over sin is a gift from God to us because it pushes us to Him, our only resource for adequately dealing with our evil and our sin. That's the point also of the conscience. The conscience produces the guilt and the shame, which then drives us to Christ, who makes us not want to go on, to keep on sinning. That's why when people sear their conscience, when they defile the conscience by blowing it off and continuing in sin, they eventually have no recourse, and there is no turning back in repentance to God. Listen to Titus 1, verse 15. This is the New Testament epistle of Titus, chapter 1, verse 15. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their mind and their conscience are defiled. Are you listening to your conscience, or have you defiled it such that you no longer feel anything when you sin? To you, is nothing pure? Are both your mind and your conscience defiled? Another way to ask this is, how sensitive to sin are we? When we fail God, does it bother us something awful? That's a good way to check the volume levels on our conscience. Just before we leave verse 7, I want to say two things briefly, and a quick glance at the clock over there tells me I have only time for the first today. So first, the fig tree from which these leaves came is not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was not a fig tree. It was only that there was a fig tree nearby, somewhere in the garden, and the leaves from it fit the areas on their bodies that Adam and Eve desperately wanted to quickly cover. Okay, what we will do next time is pick up with the second brief thing I want to say about verse 7, and then we will move into verse 8 of Genesis chapter 3. I hope that you will be with us for that. Just at the tail end of verse 7, we have discussed the human tendency to try and cover up our sins. We have discussed the conscience and the guilt and the shame that sin produces within us. I hope you find this as convicting as I have. I invite you to be convicted by the truth of the Word of God, to think on these things, and then to join me again tomorrow for God Is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.